Blog Talk Radio.
Frequency of Soul Class 397 Secular by Design. This is part 17. We're alive because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercies. Today's program, with the Creator's help, is now broadcasting live at about 10:02 here, Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA, Unifying Souls, actually. Today's program content will focus on reading, from Alan W. Cecil's Secular by Design, A Philosophy of Noahide Laws and Observances, which, by the way, you can purchase online. Just Google it up. Alan W. Cecil, that's C-E-C-I-L. Secular by Design, A Philosophy of Noahide Laws and Observances. Specifically, we're going to begin the program, and perhaps you'd like to join in this half hour that we have today. We've been blessed to share with you live or in the future in the archive version. We'll be reading from Part 1, Overview, page 43. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. And as with pining eyes and a longing soul, we wish and pray to the Almighty Creator that we should see in our day, and even today, a fulfillment of the prophecy of the Novi Yoel, Prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and even upon the servants and the maidservants. In those days will I pour out my spirit. So here we go, blessed souls. The context we're dealing with right now in the overview of Alan W. Cecil's wonderful book, Secular by Design, A Philosophy of Noahide Laws and Observances, is looking at the very first word of the Torah, of Scripture, of the Bible. Some would call it the Old Testament. I call it the Eternal Testament, beyond all the new. The very first word in the Hebrew can be pronounced two general ways. One is Bereshit or Bereshis. And the word Bereshis is often translated by the nations of the world as an isolated phrase, meaning, quote-unquote, in the beginning, comma. And then going on further, God created. But this view, blessed souls, is not held by many of the rabbinical commentators. Now, had the first word of Genesis meant, quote-unquote, in the beginning, and accentuating the comma afterwards, it would not have been in the construct state, or the construct state, and instead would have been written as Bereshona. It therefore, as the first word of the Torah, or the Bible, appears, it appears in a form as Bereshis, or Bereshit, in order to attach itself to the next word in the beginning of Bereshis Bara. There was an act of creation. So in the beginning, there was an act of creation. And the word bara, as Alan so nicely points out, the word bara, base, resh, aleph, is only used in the Torah when describing activity which can solely be attributed to the divine creator, a type of divine activity. So according to the Torah, all the matter in the universe, with its potential to form the stars and planets, was created in this first moment of time. Now, we do know that in the world of physics, quantum physics, which I have to be quite forthcoming, I am not a physicist, I'm not a scientist, I'm involved in social services as part of my full-time work endeavor. So if there's any inaccuracy what I'm about to say, please forgive me, but it's just to stir the imagination, the koch, a dimion that's existing within yourself, blessed souls, uniquely configured divine image, to sort through what I'm going to say, and to help you further focus on the implications of this idea that all acts of creativity, as mentioned in the Torah, are not in the realm of human creativity, but divine creativity. And what I think is wondrous is that in the search today, in the scientific mind, those who consider themselves to be on the cutting edge, to find that one unifying physical entity, whether it be the quantum string theory or other viewpoints, there's a yearning within the human consciousness as we are living now in the 21st century here. From a Hebrew lunar calendar perspective, 5,775 years since the revelation of original man and woman, our common ancestor, to find some means of connecting everything back to one source. Of course, we of the Torah learning community and the faith-based communities of the world realize you don't need a scientific endeavor to realize that everything is connected to the source of everything, the creator of all creation. So while the scientists, so to speak, are stumbling through their enlightenment arc of consciousness, we in the faith-based communities around the world who believe in one creator as the source of all, realize that there is a divine source for all creativity. There is a, so to speak, a name of creator which glues all the particularities of the creation to the greatest animal that walks upon this earth, or the greatest amphibious creature, or the greatest heavenly body. And that name of creator is identified in the Torah, in Scripture, in the very first verse, after we've learned in the beginning, Bereshis Bara, in the beginning there was a divine activity to manifest, reveal everything in creation, via the agency, the divine agency of the name Elohim. Now, with all of the varieties of existence that exist in the earth, and upon the earth, and way above the earth, in the heavens of heavens, and all the different universes that exist, the name Elohim is written in the plural. Now, unfortunately, this name Elohim has also been the source for many people to mistake man as a god, or other beings aside from the source of all to be gods. Well, for we of the Jewish people, this is an expression, a consciousness, a philosophy, an outlook of idolatry. But for the B'nai Noach, all the nations of the world, and I speak not in spiritual terms of the term B'nai Noach, but in terms of the actual lineage of all human beings, otherwise perhaps known as the Gentiles of the world, aside from we, the nation of Israel, or Kol HaMishpacha HaAdamah, all the families of the earth, We want to emphasize here to clarifying this name of Elohim, as Alan does so wonderfully on page 43, in part one overview of his wonderful book, Secular by Design, A Philosophy of Noahide Laws and Observances. There happened to be a 19th century sage by the name of Malbum who explained that this name, quote-unquote, signifies the many forces which spread throughout creation. However, all these forces emanate from one Creator, one God, and in Creator, in Him, are found the sources of all forces in complete unity. And this statement that Alan plucked out from appeared in a book by Rabbi Meir Zlotowitz called Bereshis, published in 2002 by Masorah Publications on page 33. Another book I'd recommend you, blessed souls, to look at, buy, learn it, share it with others. Now, this parallels the view that the Malbim stated, who was not a physicist, he was a Rav, lived in Europe. This parallels the view of the physicists who say that all fundamental forces existed as one force in the first tenth to the negative 43, or the tenth to the 43th power of second of Planck time, which, again, I am not a physicist, so I'm not sure the way Alan wrote this is supposed to be 10 to the negative 43 or 10 to the, the power of 43. Again, I'm not a physicist. Maybe someone can clarify this matter for me either through email or Facebook or through our station of identification within the Blessed Blog Talk Radio Network, which again are the signature for connecting to our archive versions or live versions can be easily accessed by going into the search engine of blogtalkradio.com and just type in soul period O period U period L period, soul class. So, also Ramban, who lived in the 13th century, so we're talking about 800 years ago, that the name or the word Elohim means, quote, the master of all forces. For the root of the word is kel, meaning force, and the word Elohim is a composite consisting of the words kel and haim. As if the word kel is in the construct state, and haim, literally, they, alludes to the other forces. And to learn more about that, you can go to Rambam's commentary on the Torah, the Book of Genesis, published by Shiloh Publishing House. It was published in 1999, page 25. Alan then goes on to say, it should be mentioned that the sages, we're talking about the sages of Israel, also said that there were four fundamental elements or forces that make up everything in the physical universe. In fact, a view which agrees with the quote-unquote standard model of physics. A little synchronicity here, blessed souls. Or as we would say in the Hebrew, Hashkacha Pratit, divine providence. Now that time itself was a creation of God is explained by the very first verse of Bereshit, in the beginning. In fact, the question of time and space was asked by Maimonides and the Rambam in the 12th century. And the question was, quote, what determined the first day, since there was no rotating sphere and no sun? And Alan plucked this question from Rambam's Mor Nevuchim, The Guide to the Perplexed, section 2, page or subsection 30. So we can therefore translate the first verse of Bereshit as, in the beginning of God's creating space and matter. Which also can be alluding to the idea that in the beginning, Creator created space and matter, which we can identify as heaven, otherwise known as space, and the earth, otherwise known as matter. Alan then went on to further elucidate on the second verse of the Torah, where, matter of fact, after we are told in the beginning, God, or Creator, created the heaven and the earth, He created matter, yet, quoting from the verse here, that the world, or the earth, which was also, as Alan has it translated, as matter, when matter was without substance, and darkness was on the surface of the deep, the Spirit of God hovered in the surface of the waters. So this is, can lead to a very great discussion, but it says, how can we say, or how, why did the Creator instruct Moses? Because Moses was the one who took this divine form of dictation from the Creator in preparation for what we eventually would identify and will always identify as the giving of the Ten Commandments, which is alluding to the giving of all the 613 commandments in written scriptural form and all the details as elucidated via the Israelite oral Torah tradition, including with that as well the seven Noahide commandments, Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. How can it be from verse 1 there's an assertion of matter being revealed, yet this matter, as depicted in this second verse in the book of Genesis, was devoid of substance? And not only that, there was a darkness that was in the world, while at the same time too, a ruach Elohim merachefet al pnei moyim, that the Spirit of God was hovering upon the face or the surface of the waters. So Alan rendered this following explanation, pulling from sources such as Rabbi Eli Monk and the Ramban. And here it goes. So focusing in, being specific within this verse, the second verse of the Torah, of the Bible, of the Eternal Divine Testament, quote, when matter was without substance, end of quote, according to the latest scientific theory, when all matter in the universe was created, particles had no mass. Then, as the particles cooled down, a mystical and invisible energy field, and then Alan added in parentheses, dubbed the Higgs field, end of parentheses, was created, which gave the particles mass. Rabbi Eli Monk renders the word choshech, which was again mentioned in the second verse of the Bible, the Torah, in Scripture, which in Hebrew is called choshech, as quote-unquote, the opaque matter. And this describes the time when matter was still too hot to form atoms, and matter was, quote-unquote, without form, merely a mass of protons and neutrons. The Rambam stated that, quote-unquote, with this creation, which is like a very small point having no substance, everything in the heavens and the earth was created. And from there, Alan quoted again from Ramban's commentary on the Torah from the book of Genesis, published 1999 by the Shiloh Publishing House, page 25. And in fact, Alan goes on to say, this agrees with modern science that all the matter in the universe came from one very small point, and it had no mass, or in the parentheses, as Alan wrote, or substance when it was created. Going further, al panei amoyim, upon the face of the deep, or upon the face of the waters. Israelite sages taught that this water was different in form from the water of the earth. Allen quoted from Rambam to further elucidate on this concept, "On the face of the waters" does not refer to the waters which form the seas and that part of the element water having received a particular form and being above the air. And it is distinguished from the other part which has received the form of ordinary water. So we're talking about a very high distilled form of water, which is not the water that we associate with our streams, rivulets, ponds, lakes, rivers, bays, seas, and oceans. And Alan quoted the Ramban here on that, for that the statement I just mentioned. Commentary on the Torah, the book of Genesis, chapter 28, or page 28, I should say. Water, of course, we know, is a molecule that consists of one atom of oxygen and two atoms of hydrogen. The simplest of all atoms, consisting of just one proton and electron. Going further on in the discussion, the first verses of the Torah, of Scripture, where it says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." Alan is quick to point out, and I've learned this from other sources from the one that he quotes here, that when we talk about light, we're talking about a primal light, not a light that is shining out like the light bulb which is hovering over your head, blessed souls. We're talking about a type of light before the stars were formed, and is why, quote unquote, the text does not say, quote, "and it was so," end of quote, as it is said on other days, because the light did not remain in this state all the time, as did the other creations. And again, from there he quoted the Rambam, I'm sorry, the Ramban, page 28. And I mentioned before, the last time I quoted Alan quoting the Ramban, I said page 28, it was page 25. Previously, blessed souls, we made a little mistake, a little glitch in the reading of this material. This light consisted of photons, and after the first 300,000 years, as explained above, before this matter cooled enough, the electrons that were interfering with the photons were captured by the protons and the neutrons. In our last section, he'll be learning about, as Alan went on to further elucidate, where it says in the verse in the beginning of Genesis, in the first chapter, "And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the dark." And he adds this idea of the dark matter. The division between quote-unquote light and the quote-unquote dark matter and quote-unquote dark energy leads us to, as Alan asserts in this, in page 45, now we've gone from page 43 to page 45 of part one overview, "the theory of quote-unquote dark matter slash dark energy," end of quote, "is used to explain the gravitational effects seen in the rotation of galaxies by matter that emits no electromagnetic radiation," meaning matter that cannot be seen, blessed souls. Scientists, in fact, acknowledge that 95% of all matter in the universe is made of this invisible and unknown stuff. This is what is taught by the commentators who point out darkness is not merely the absence of light, but is a specific object of God's creation. And there Alan quoted from Rabbi Meir Zlatowitz, the Book of Bereishis, Volume 1, page 37, the book I quoted before, in the name of Rabbi Zlatowitz. "Most astronomers now say that the universe is expanding at an ever-increasing rate. That is bad news to those who hold on to the quote-unquote oscillating universe theory," end of quote, "that the universe has always expanded and contracted. There is not nearly enough for the universe to contract by gravitational forces, which means that the quote-unquote Big Bang was a one-time event, dispelling any notion that the universe is eternal." Now, I just want to mention this before we sign off and we turn to our flagship ending music by David Dohm, that this whole idea of dark matter or dark energy, there's even a concept of Or Ukma in the Hasidic and Kabbalistic terminology, has, say, two more implications. The first implication is that this black light or black matter or black energy is a, what we call in the Hebrew, a mamutza, an intermediary, an expression of keter, keser, of crown, which connects two opposites, while itself does not take up any physical space, but can facilitate the connecting of point A to point B. The other point that dark matter, dark energy, or uchma implies is there is a process which goes on, which is a secret only known unto the Creator himself. And therefore, we are the ones in the darkness. The creation is the one that is in darkness. Even when all the luminaries of the heavens and the earth are fully shining out their brightness, and all the grids of the world are hooked in, and all the bright lights of Broadway and wherever you might be, Kathmandu, are shining out man-made, facilitated light, it's still all darkness in relation to the wisdom, the inner divine wisdom of the Creator, which again is hinted to in the Hebrew word bara, created, because there are matters that only Creator can do, which is to create everything out of absolute nothingness and manifest this wonderful creation we have with all troubles we still have on a day-to-day basis, moment-to-moment basis, between country and country, continent and continent, between the different species of creations on the earth. Yet we can hopefully take comfort in knowing that there is a Creator who is beyond us all, who Yosheh B'Sesa Elyon, as it says in chapter 91 in Psalms, who dwells in the supernal heights, in a concealed place, in the place of darkness, is where Creator brought about creation. But nothing was in darkness to the Creator himself. It says that we are in the darkness. So therefore, when we seek out to learn Torah, and if we are the nation of Israel, to seek out to fulfill the 613 commandments, or the blessed children of Noah, of all the blessed nations of the world, Kam, Mishpachat Adamak, all the families of the earth, we can sort of get an idea of what's coming out of that dark energy, which is not a negative energy. It is just an energy or a light or a substance which is beyond our perceptions of our physical eyes, and how much more so even from within our spiritual eyes. Yet we've been told from the testimony, via the testimony of the great sages of Israel and the great mystics and the great prophets of Israel, such matter exists. So with that being said, blessed souls, I want to wish everyone a wonderful day. We're now going to end off with a song by David Dohm, who will help us get back home with his wonderful music. And this song is called Every Day, because any day is every day, and every day can be a special day. And I know, blessed souls, deep down in the epicenter of your blessed heart, you know that you're good. And if you have some ambivalence about that, I just want to remind you, maybe it will tickle your tongue. Maybe it will cause you perhaps a little bit of agmas nefesh, as we say, which is a little bit of pain, but that's okay. This pain is for gain. You are good and can get even much better. By via the fact of your knowing that you have a divine image will help you get off in scrimmage. Your divine, your Tzelem Elohim is no dream. And the Teva HaTov L'Etiv, and the empowerment of all of this is the source of all, the Creator, Yosheh B'Sesa Elyon, the one who sits in supernal concealment, but yet allows the light of divine consciousness to interact with our minds, our blessed human minds, our nefesh siklis, our human intellect, and even help us educate our nefesh bahamas, our animal souls, our animal tendencies to become upgraded, to want to make every day a mirror, a reflection of others and ourselves. And when you learn about this, it will make you feel more at home with the idea that you are here for a purpose as one of the 7+ billion stewards upon this blessed earth. Until next time, blessed is Danza Sikubin, wishing everyone in a way of Ahava Chad, one love, Gor Lechad, one destiny kolanu, Lahamshich, to be continued, Bezer Shem Yisperek, with the help of the Most High. Take care, everyone.